Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all again. We'll be in Philippians chapter 2 today. So I'm going to start us off with a word of prayer. And then we're just going to dig in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the day that you have made, Lord. Thank you for getting us here bright and early to dig into your word, that we have your word here and the freedom to log on virtually and to connect in an instant. I can't imagine what Paul would think right now to have this ability to do what we're doing he was writing letters in jail, right, prison, and sending them out, and it would take weeks to correspond, and we get to correspond in real time, no matter the distance. I mean, there's just the crazy ability that we have, and that we get to use that to proclaim your word, to dig into your word, to connect with brothers and sisters across the world, right across here in South Jersey. It's just an awesome tool. It's also a dangerous tool, right? The enemy would use it to distribute all kinds of evil, Lord. So as we think about that, we just know that one day you're going to redeem it. This whole world, you're going to redeem us and everything that's involved in this world that it needs help, Lord. So we ask you to be with us, to be with all things. But as we dig into your word today, help us to tune into your spirit, tune into your word, help us to get a word to see what you would speak to us individually today, Lord, as the word, your word is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces us right into the soul and our hearts, and it convicts. So let it convict us, let it encourage us, let us to get to see who you are a little bit more. And we ask this in your name. Amen. All right. Excuse me. First time talking in the morning. Gotta open up the vocal cords. But if you don't know me, my name's Jeff. Jeff Behrens. I'm over at the Newfield location with my wife and I, Abby. We've been coming now for, I guess it's, we just hit the year mark, maybe coming over, you know, past the year since we started over at the location when I was at the school. So here we are now. They got me. I think this is my fourth soap. So thankful to be invited back, to come back and share the word with you. So Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to go ahead. We're going to read through, come back and break it down a little bit. New King James Version. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3 here. This was one of my first memory verses back in the day. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. A lot of meat there. A lot going on in Philippians chapter 2. We only have, 20 minutes, so we're gonna get what we can get out of it. All right, first things first, right? Verses 1 through 4, obviously we see the theme of humility, right? Key verse there, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain, right? Vain ambition. Let nothing be done through selfishness or conceit, right? Depending on what translation you have, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So that's just like, we're here, we're just lifting other people up, right? Humility. So to really capture this, I liked the Message version in the first four verses. Really kind of simplifies it, breaks it down. So I'm just going to read four verses from the Message. It says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made a difference, any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. I love that, right? Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. I mean, we could just sit on that for the rest of the day. the rest of our life, right? Like, just focus on that, that we often, how often do we just, right, not forget ourselves? We're always self-centered. That's just, I wake up in the morning, I'm self-centered. Like, I wake up in my natural state. My natural state is all about me, right? Like, I got to put on the armor of God. I have to humble myself. It's just not natural to wake up in humility. You wake up thinking about all your needs, right? So you know, forget yourselves is something we have to do. Long enough, even if it's just long enough to help, to lend a helping hand, because you're not always going to forget yourself all the time, right? Our knees rope, that flesh is always has a desire. So we have this charge here of of humility. And we could spend all day talking about the importance of humility, but if we miss how, right, it'll never happen. So there's some key verses in here that's going to show us how we actually do this. And it's followed right in the next one. And it says in verse 5, right, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So to live this life in humility, we have to let the mind of Christ be in us, right? We have to partner and be like Christ. So we're going to dig into that a little bit. So we got the first verse is kind of like a charge for us. And then as we get into this next portion, right, verses 6 and 11, it's pretty theological meat here, which is, I think is pretty clear. And this is going to help us to understand a little bit more about Christ and God, their relationship, and what his mind is like, so that we can also have that same mind and how we do that. All right. So verse 6, right? Right here, we see some of the verbiage you use. It says not robbery, right? Especially if you go to King James, New King James, right? Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What that means is when Jesus said he's equal to God, him and his father are one, it didn't steal anything from God. It didn't take away from God. It didn't make God less. Like, also, he was fully right to be and to be God. Like, he is God. So it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't robbery. It would be robbery for me, right, to say, to put myself in an authority that I'm not there, but he was there. So it's not robbery. It wasn't anything wrong. He was equal with God. So his claims to be God, like I said, didn't take less in God at all. And it was right for him to do so. He doesn't rob his glory. They are equal. Now what is key is right here is as you think about this verse, right, that he humbled himself, right? So what Jesus did with that status of being equal to God and being with God, with that authority and power, he humbled himself. Like, God didn't force that on him. He humbled himself to the Father, not because the Father was above him, right? They were equal. It's not the Father, the Son. So the Father does, and the Son, like, they're equal. The Father had a desire and want. Jesus humbled himself. You follow? Like, we often think God's here, Jesus is here. Like, no, they're equal, one. Jesus humbled himself. He didn't have to. He humbled himself, right, to God's will. And like I said, not because he's above, but out of love and benevolence for the Father, right? To become a man, to become a servant, even obedient unto death, right? The death of the cross, out of love and obedience. Jesus humbled himself. Now, here's another thing, right? So Jesus humbles himself because he loves the Father. Then what do we see later on in the verses, right? The Father does to Jesus is he elevates him above every name. Right, so Jesus humbles himself to elevate the Father, And what does the Father do? The Father elevates Jesus. So we see this cycle. As we look at the Father is always elevating Jesus. And what's Jesus always doing? He's always elevating the Father. Like, there's this relationship. Now, in this particular passage, we're you know, we know this, the Trinity and the Spirit is there too. But this particular passage, you know, we're just talking about the Father and the Son. And if we were to throw the Spirit in there and start getting a little more complex, it's the same thing. Like, each part of the Trinity is always elevating the other one. They're always humbling themselves to elevate. So we see this relationship and how God communes with himself. And that's also how he wants to commune with us, right? He comes and restores us. This is also how we want to live, right? This mind of Christ. So Christ is, he's got it. Him and the Father, they're constantly elevating each other. What a beautiful relationship. I heard this terminology is when you think of the Trinity. I read this book, this really good picture was, imagine a waterfall, right? And that waterfall represents love. Like it's pouring out. This waterfall, right? Like one part of the God is pouring into another waterfall, and that waterfall is pouring into another waterfall, right? And they're just, it's just a constant. So it's like three waterfalls just constantly pouring out all this love into each other. And it's just a constant relationship of pouring out love. Right, that's the Trinity. And that's how, right, we're made in his image. That's how God also wants to include us in that. He wants to pour out his love into us. And we need to start pouring out our love into others. I also thought about, right, this, imagine for a second the idea of elevating everybody else. Imagine if every single person in the world, every single person did that. Right? Believer or not, every single person in the world actually elevated, always tried to outdo one another to lift up. Like that would be a paradise, right? That would be a paradise. It'd be like heaven, right? One day that's what it's going to be. But imagine that for a second. If everyone just kept trying to elevate everyone else, like everything would change. But we don't, right? We live in a broken world, which is why we're going to get into some of those other verses. But another thing to think about before we move on is forget the world. If you're married, imagine our marriage or even just our close relationships, what they would be like if we had the mind of Christ all the time in those relationships, in every relationship we walk in, to put on the mind of Christ, to forget ourselves just enough to elevate them, right? And that would be even in conflict, like their emotions. Well, I'm angry, I'm offended. Well, no, I do this with my wife all the time. She has an emotional, right, whether in conflict and her feelings are hurt, she needs to express it. Well, mine are too. And we're equal, we're one. My wife and I are one. And she could elevate what she wants in her hurt, but yet I can do that too. And I'm like, no, why is your hurt more important than mine? In God's eyes, it's not. However, to be Christ-minded when she's offended and I'm offended as well, I'm going to forget myself for a little bit. I'm going to say, you know what? God's got me, right? So I'm going to lift her up, and I'm going to say, I'm going to put my offense down because hers is more important. I'm going to elevate her and her needs. So that's going to help me not be angry. That's going to help me not to strive to get my point across, to get my hurt across. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to elevate her and lift her up and say, no, she deserves the platform. She's my bride. She's my wife. I love her. I'm going to elevate her. And the offense she has against me, I'm going to take, I'm going to listen to, because I'm elevating her. I'm not fighting and striving. That's what leads to divorce and disconnection, right? So to humble yourself. But imagine an apartment, if both couples actually get to where they start to do that. I mean, imagine the testimony and what that relationship would be, and that testimony of right, where marriage is supposed to reflect God's relationship to us. So, yeah, awesome point. But with that said, right, unfortunately, we live in a sinful and broken world, and we're sinful and broken people. And we're married to sinful and broken people, right? So what that means is, as we elevate other people and as we take on this mind of Christ, we're going to be used and abused, right? I mean, look what happened to Jesus, right? The world crucified him, killed him. So as we do this and we live humble, like, you're going to be doormats at times, right? Now, there's a difference between being there's a difference between, say, forcefully being abused versus allowing yourself and being abused within power, for example. Think of Jesus, right? He could have stopped it at any second. He had a purpose, right? So he took on, he humbled himself to be that for a purpose, right? There are times, just like in that marriage, right? There are times, like, in power, like, I'm going to walk into something knowing and willingly and empowered to be in this situation, right? To be mocked, to be persecuted. Like, I'm going to walk into that in power because of the Holy Spirit, because of me and God. God's empowered me to do that, right? Versus just sitting in an abusive state, like being abused just to be abused, right? So you can get into that, but yeah. And at this point, right, differences is are we being used by God, right? So difference between, they like what they said here, difference between being used and abused. We are used by God, right, and abused by people. You know, God sees it all. We work with him, and that could be, right, understanding that balance is good. But right, so we're gonna be taken advantage of. So how do we do that? And if you go back, like you said, verses 12 through 18, you know, he's kind of setting the stage, and not to get in all of it, but I'm going to point out where he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he kind of goes on. Oh, lost my place. 12. Yeah. Work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure, right? The will and desire for us to do good, it's from him. The ability to do good is from him. And it says, as you do these things, do it without complaining, and that you may be blameless, right, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So he knows, like, he's given us these commandments, even though we're in a crooked and perverse generation. But let's go back a few verses, right? So all this is kind of under the umbrella of working out your own salvation. What does that mean? First thing, what it does not mean, it does not mean you work for salvation, right? Right. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself, is the gift of God. So salvation is not something you work for. However, when you're saved, there's a work to be done, right? And even as work out your salvation, like, that means a few things to me. One, it means assess yourself, assess your faith. Are you saved? Is there evidence of your salvation? I'm going to share one of the scariest passages of scripture I ever read. It scared me more than anything. And it was Matthew, and it wasn't until after about 10 years into my faith, Like I got saved on fire for God, living for God about 10 years, maybe more, somewhere around there, right? 10 years. And I've read this verse, God knows how many times, but this time I read it and it scared me. Matthew 22. All right. This is the parable of the king throwing a wedding banquet for his son. Right. The invites are like, we can't go. So he sent his servants out, invite everybody. Right. And he gets in there in verse 22, verses 11 and 12, and the party's happening. And all of a sudden the king came, right. And he came to see the dinner guests and he saw a man there who was not dressed appropriately in the wedding clothes. Like he didn't have the wedding garment on. And he said, friend, how did you come in here without wearing the wedding clothes that were provided for you? And the man was speechless and without excuse, right? We know he took that man, bound him, and cast him. Like, and I thought for a second, what if I'm that man? What, like, this guy was just like, I'm cool, I belong here. He just kind of like thought he belonged, right? He didn't really assess himself. And I'm like, how many people think, right, they're Christians, think they're saved, but they're not, right? Like I've talked to people, they think they're saved just because their parents got them baptized when they were a baby. I'm good. Or they think they're saved because I go to church once in a while. Like there's no, they really haven't been, they don't know. They haven't really come to their own faith. There's this idea of like, we need to assess ourselves. And that sent me on a year journey, that verse of like, I need to know I'm saved, right? Because I doubt, like, what am I saved? And God really sent me through a year of finding assurance in my salvation. And that's part of one of the other things, right? So as we evaluate ourselves, we're looking for a few things. We want to test and evaluate ourselves. In 2 Corinthians, listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This is the Amplified version that helps kind of bring it out a little bit more. He says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourselves, not me. Don't examine me. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself by an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as a counterfeit, right? Like constantly test ourselves. Is Jesus in me? Right? Do I have the Spirit? Am I living for the Spirit? If not, right, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray to God, right? Like, God, save me. We need that, right? Also, this 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, believers, be all more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin, right? So again, as we continue to examine this and work out our salvation, one, am I really saved? And then you get that assurance of salvation, right? That assurance of salvation is huge. I read something in a book, it says, right, Satan can't take our salvation away, but he can take our assurance of salvation away. And when a believer doesn't have assurance of salvation, they're going to be powerless, right? We need that assurance, right? And then that's going to help us spiritually grow and live a life that also leads others away from sin, right? To lead others to Christ. And if you ever doubt and struggle with your salvation, I'm going to encourage you to head to 1 John. Spend some time in 1 John. That was the key for me. There's a lot of keys in there, but assurance. And he even says 1 John 3:18 and 19. This is what he says. Little children, believers, dear ones, right? Let us not love merely in theory, right? Don't just love in theory, with word or tongue, just given lip service to compassion, but in action and truth, right? Practice sincerity, because practical acts of love are more than words. And he says, by this, right? This is the key, what I'm trying to get at right here. Verse 19, by this we will know without any doubt that we are of the truth. Without any doubt, we'll know we are of the truth, and will assure our heart and quiet our conscience before him. Like that, that's where we get our insurance. It doesn't say that's how we get our salvation, right? But that's our salvation being worked out to give us that assurance. Also to allow us to be a light in a dark and perverse generation, in a perverse world, right? So by this, by living out our faith, by not just saying we're saved, but living out our faith and actually loving people and doing the things of children of God, by this we will know without a doubt that we are of truth, and will assure our hearts and quiet our conscience before him. Like that's what it's about, right? So work out your salvation for your assurance and for others, right? As you will lead them to Christ, which is, you know, that point there, right? Like I have written down, allow your salvation to shine before man, right? This is not just the I'm good, I'm saved, I got my ticket to heaven, sit back and do what you want kind of salvation. No, this is the kind of salvation we're saved for a purpose. Like we're saved, God loves us, we're in his family, but now he's got a purpose for adopting us into his family. Like just to identify as one of God's children, like you're gonna be doing the work of God's children, right? That's and it's gonna assure you you're there, right? I don't know if any of you ever played sports, but I've seen a lot of people, and I can even relate with myself, when you're on a sports team, or even if you're not on a team and you get picked by a bunch of people, you're like, oh, we're picking teams, you're on the team. If you're not participating, do you really feel like a part of the team? You're like, do I really belong here? If you're just sitting on the sidelines the whole time, you really don't feel like you're a team player, and you may actually doubt your purpose for being there. Like, I'm not really a part of the team, you know? So when they go out for the victory, you're going to stay home. You're not going to, right? The God's family, there's certain things that we're going to partake in that's going to connect us and bring that connection point to assure us that we're there. And again, if we're not, we need to evaluate and take it serious. I mean, evaluate, seek and you shall find, diligently seek him. These are promises of God. That as we truly examine ourselves and reason with God, like he's going to show up. And I think a lot of people, they just, even out, especially outside the faith, they just don't, people don't want to examine themselves, right? We just, everybody wants to be surface level. They want to check out. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes meditation and a lot of work to examine ourselves. And sometimes it takes a friend. Iron sharpens iron. I know my wife can pick out my faults faster than I can pick out my own faults. My friends can as well. So we need to be open-minded to allow other people to speak to us, to sharpen us, right? Not to put us down and condemn, because even if they condemn us, we know there's no condemnation in Christ, right? So as we work out our salvation, we can be secure enough to get the nail and hammer from our friends to sharpen us, to chip away all these hard things, to make us more like Christ. Because our light wants to shine. Like there's a light in us, and we, right, keep it under, right, a bushel or whatever you want to call it, right? Don't let my little light, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Like we keep this light that we have in us, and we cover it up. Like we need to let it shine. So that's what I have for today. 6:33. I'm just promised to keep it. I'm keeping it at a half an hour today. I think that was great meat. Yeah, we could keep going, but then we'll end up till 7 o'clock. So I'm gonna hang out. I'm gonna say bye to everybody. I'll hang out. If anyone has any comments or questions, I'll stick around for an extra few minutes. But it was great having you all. I'm gonna close this out in a prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for you sending your son to die for us and you know, this great salvation we have. But as we look at the next step of working out this great salvation, you've also given us examples of how to live. And Paul's challenging us to have this mind, the mind of Christ in us, Lord. And so as you reveal who you are, help us to put that on us, right? Help us to have that same mind, to think less of ourselves, right? Not that we're less, to know who we are in you and that great worth we have. Let us hold on to that. But because of that great worth that we have, like that empowers us to humble ourselves and to lift other people's up above ourselves, that we can serve them, that we can listen to them, that we can love them, and that we don't have to fight our way to the top, that we can be okay and quite happy and content at the bottom and watching others succeed, watching others be better than us. Lord, help us to have that mind in you, Lord. And as an encouragement, I know that, you know, as we do that, just as you do with Jesus, you're going to elevate us, right? So it's not our job to elevate ourselves. In due time, you will elevate us and you'll, you know, give us what, whatever it is you want us to give, but at the same time, I know I deserve none of it. So thank you for all that you do, Lord. Help us to love you. Help us to love others. Help us to meditate on this and to have that. I think if we get that verse, let us do nothing today through strife or conceit or vainglory, but help us to lift everyone we come in contact with better than ourselves and allow our lights to shine in this dark and perverse world. And that you would be glorified in this, and that people's sins would be forgiven and turned, and repentance would happen, and your kingdom would grow. And we ask all this in your name. Amen. All right. Awesome seeing you guys. You have a good day.